Great time with the sermon. Just a great time. It is an incredibly incredible story, isn't it? And I want to just kind of set the stage, if I may. Some of you know that one of the things I do is I teach New Testament online. I teach a New Testament course online through Palmer Seminary, the Eastern School of Christian Ministry. And it's usually a very small class, which is great for me. Although I never see them, it's always online, completely online. And I do have to grade their work, you know, the students' work. I got to do that, and I don't check too much the citations, you know, the references, spelling. If I catch it, of course, you know, I don't spell very well myself anyway, so I'm very lenient with that. However, to get a good grade from me, what you have to do is answer the actual question that was asked. If you can do that, you'll probably get an A from me. This is going to happen. And every week, there's a couple of questions, and if you answer each one, A. You know, 10 points is all you can get. And then with the paper, it's the same thing. If you deal with the actual topic that was assigned, you get what I'm saying. So that's very, very important to me. That came home to me a few years ago when a friend that Carol and I have, who is an author, was doing some writing of a screenplay, and he was given an assignment for the final scene from whoever it was that was paying for this. And so he gets the assignment, and he starts writing, and then he gets this other scene in his mind. So he writes this beautiful, just superb scene, just excellent, and sends it off. And the reply comes back, very nice scene, but it's not what I asked for. So I don't know whatever happened to that scene. I don't think it was ever published, produced, or much of anything done with it. However, he did turn around and write what he was asked to write and got that squared away. The most profound and strong way to live as a disciple of Jesus is to answer with your life the actual question Jesus is asking you. That was a pretty good segue, wasn't it? Just right in there, right? That's the deal. That's the deal. And you get to that by paying attention to two particular specific questions. Anybody remember what they are? What are you telling me, and what do you want me to do about it? What's God telling you, and how does God want you to carry that out? When those are the general questions. When you pay attention to them, there's a specific thing that Jesus is beginning to describe to you, communicate to you, and to live as his disciple is to answer that question. To get an A on the assignment, to have it done the way it's supposed to be done, is doing that, catching what he's saying and moving ahead in that. And sometimes we find that there can be an unconscious block to that. And sometimes that unconscious block for us is not differentiating completely enough between a transaction and a transformation. I thought more of you were going to write that down, but that's all right. We'll get to yeah, that's right. Right. So that's what we see here in this particular section. And the story with the disciples coming up to Jesus and saying, hey, Jesus, increase our faith. And Jesus is his typical self and answers in an extremely annoying way. If I asked Jesus that question and directly, and I got that answer, I'd think, what are you saying? What's going on here? Because what he says, you know what, 12? If you had faith the size of a mustard seed. Now, most of us haven't seen a mustard seed, so some translations will say a poppy seed, the size of a poppy seed, you would be able to say to this tree, be uprooted and thrown into the sea, and it would do it. In other words, the size of your faith is not the question. There's no category for having more faith than what you have now. The answer, the idea, the thing that is important for you is that you learn more deeply, more completely how to walk by faith and not by sight. You walk by the faith you already have and not by the sight. So what was going on here with the 12 is that they were asking Jesus a transactional question. They were making a transaction. If we do this, will our faith then increase? That's a transaction. I do this and you do that, right? A transformation is, it all changes. Everything changes. And there may not be a transaction. I may not give anything to Jesus for that transformation to occur. But he's going to transform no matter what. He'll transform us. He'll transform our relationships. He'll transform our community. He'll transform our mind. He'll transform the way that we talk to other people. You know, anything. Just you fill in the blank and he's out to transform it. Very, very important distinction. And that comes from service to Jesus. And service to Jesus is doing what Jesus says. That's where dying daily comes in. Because I don't know about you, but my natural desire is to say, hey, Jesus, look at this. I thought of this myself, and I thought I'd give it to you. How about that? Let's do it. To which Jesus would say, I'm checking to see if you, John, can answer the actual question. Don't you like to do that? Just, you know, you think about St. Francis, or you think about your other relationships, and you think, hey, you know what? I can do this. So you bring it in, and there it is. Well, and did Jesus ask for that? If you don't mind my putting it in those terms, that can be difficult for us to really think about and then really try to do. But that's what Jesus asked for. See, we tend to think in those terms of a transaction. And the reason that we think in terms of transaction is because we think, I mean, I do, and I'm guessing you do, we think we're entitled. We have a sense of entitlement. Here I am, and I've been doing this, and I've been doing it for a while, and therefore I'm entitled to this. Well, you see, that's fine with your boss or your work or whatever, or the amount of interest you get in your bank account or whatever it is, but we're following Jesus. And it's not a transaction. We don't have an entitlement. What we have is everything in the kingdom of God right now. Right at this moment, it is all ours. It is like the father going to the elder brother. Remember that parable? Saying, everything I have is yours. All of it, right now. And as you walk in it, as you grow in that, what happens is you become transformed. And as you become transformed, the relationships around you become transformed. And as that happens, the community around you becomes transformed. And that's what Jesus is after. And sometimes what we think we're entitled to doesn't play into it at all. Doesn't mean you shouldn't have it. Doesn't mean that you're bad for thinking it. What it means is Jesus is saying, I want you to come away from thinking in transactions with me to thinking of transforming with me. That's where I die daily. That's hard to do. Okay, can I get a little more personal with you now? This side's not so sure. This side of the room. here's how it goes. This is one area that we can look at. I thought I'd just go all the way with it this morning, okay? We tend to think that if we have a good service, make a good invitation, do some nice things in the community to give back as a fellowship, make some sacrificial effort in some way, whatever it may be, then we're entitled to have a bigger church. There'll be questions later. Okay. And it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. Now, I think we should do things well and do it well to God and for God, and because we want to have more of God. And that's the reason to do it. In other words, if we do things so that we'll grow personally, that's a transaction. If we do things for others, that's a transaction. I'm doing this so that this such and such will happen. If we do it for Jesus, to be with Jesus, then that would be all we need. And we start becoming like Him as a result of that. We are transformed. That's the deal. That's the deal. We might have really excellent, brochures or something. Whatever, whatever category you think. If we have that, then maybe some more people will come. Yes, maybe. Well, I don't know. That's a transaction, and we just can't say that the cause and effect is going to be there. But I know this. If I show up just to be with Jesus, just to hear His voice, then I've done what He's asked me to do. I've answered the question that was asked. And He will build the church, which is His promise. And when we do that together, then I see more of Jesus and I hear more of His voice through you, in a way that I wouldn't just all by myself. And that's what I want. That's what I want. And sometimes when there's conflict or difficulty between us, which can happen, not often, but it can happen, if I want a transaction, I will say, how can I overcome your objection? So I'll do something so that you won't object anymore. But what I want to do, usually, is satisfy the objection. Because if you're satisfied, then there's something about you and I sharing Jesus together in a way that we have moved to what He has said. Which is what I want. I don't need to win most of the time. No, I don't need to win in the long run. I need to be like Him in the long run. Okay? All right, now this is getting along in the list of parables that we've been looking at. And they've all been kind of tough like this, where the image of God that we tend to carry personally is directly challenged by what Jesus says, and that causes us to expand in ways that we didn't anticipate. But it's we see more of Him that way. So, there's one other thing I want to mention to you, but at this point, like we do from time to time, I just want to stop and see if you have questions about this that I've been sharing with you. Okay, good. All right. Okay, good. Good. Very important to catch that and then walk in it daily. Okay, you got in just under the wire, Richard. I only want to mention that. Excellent question. Brings me to what I wanted to share with you, but let me build into it this way. When you see something going on, when something's going on in your life, and you think, boy, I better do this so I get to this result. That's the transactional mindset. If you would look at that incident or situation as a kairos moment, a moment filled with God, so that instead of making your first step, what do I do to resolve it? Your first step is, what's God telling me? Then you're on the path to transformation. And you take it around a circle. What's God telling me? And you start reflecting on that more deeply. And you start thinking, well, okay, what does that mean for me? And then you come around to, that's repentance. And then you start actions of belief. What do I do about this? What's my plan? What does God have me do? You come all the way around, and then in the circle, you come out higher. And you may be in the same direction, but you're higher. That's transformation. And that's where we started, those two questions. So if you start there with that incident, you will come to a place of transformation. That's the discipleship culture. That's what it is to make disciples. And very, very important. So here's one example, and then I'll leave you with that, and we'll go on to the table. The example is this. We often think, if I go out and share my faith, then those with whom I share my faith will be the ones that are added into the fellowship I attend. However, yes, I will, David. Thank you. Okay, yes, I will. If I go out and share my faith with somebody, I expect them to show up at my church. Yeah. I did get kind of carried away with that, didn't I? Right? Okay. So I share my faith with some people, I expect them to show up at my church. Jesus, however, will point out there'll be those occasions where you will reap where you have not sown, and you will sow where you will not reap. Why? Transforming the community instead of bringing us into a transaction of, I'll do this for you, Jesus, if you do that for me. We're not at a bargaining table with the Lord. We're at the table of the feast of the world's redemption with the Lord. That is a different life than the rest of the world. Okay. If you wouldn't mind, ask God this week to let that soak in to the places of your heart and soul where it might not have touched yet. And if you think of something during the week, as a result of that, please feel free to get in touch with me, email me, call or whatever. It's my favorite subject. I'm not too busy for it. And again, I'd love to talk with you more about it. You know, anywhere, at the gym, you know, anywhere. Anywhere, be fine. And then if you would just keep asking God when there's that moment that he's there, even if it's a very small matter, but you know it's a God moment. If you just remind me when you do that, God, to ask you what it is you're saying instead of coming up with, well, what have I got to do now?
He's leading you that way.